Please turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 19 will be our consideration this evening. Psalm 119 and verse 19, David says simply, I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. And as we pass from a 2006 to 2007, I thought that some of these thoughts of David and some other passages in the Scripture might be fitting for our meditation. Whatever happened to Y2K? It's hard to believe that they called all the troops out at SunGuard. 7 years ago, I was sitting there in front of the computer for hours, called to double duty to watch and see what would happen and to make sure every application and every system and every computer turned over and nothing happened. And the only thing that happened was that we turned the lights off in the hallway around midnight and got a few people nervous. But nothing significant. But to me, for months and months to have been there and prepared and gotten ready, it's truly like a vapor to think that that was 7 years ago this evening that we sat there and waited. What's been going on at Wheatland Drive this year? We started out last year with four people in the home, a mother and father and two daughters. One's gone, then the other's gone. And now, unchangeably, those are not just daughters, but they're daughters and wives. We just prayed for children. Now we have guys that were just guys. Now they're husbands. Now they're forever fathers the rest of their life. And you can think of any illustration that you want. You can think of how your life has changed. There's a family here that I've sat in their living room and sat at their table and ate a meal in their house, and that's an Eckerd Pharmacy now, right out there on the highway. Wiped out. We used to live there. Where? Well, the kitchen was like aisle six. But that's our lives, isn't it? That's the way we move. That's the way we travel. That's how you talk with somebody and you say that. You say, I can't believe it. That's so long ago. I was talking to somebody this morning, and a gentleman much older than me. And he says, the years go faster as they go along. Well, we need something. We need something because it's obvious to us, and it was obvious to David, that we're just passing through. We're just passing through. Physically, spiritually, we are going from this place at some day and at some time. That's already been appointed. And just like the passage in Habakkuk this morning, it is hastening and it is coming. And it will not change or alter its course for all of us. David, as a sojourner, confesses that he is, and he understands that. And then he says, hide not your commandments from me. And what I basically would like to do is talk about what it means to be a sojourner, what a sojourner needs, and then have some applications. We know the focus of the psalm is centered on the law of God and God's commandments and precepts and ordinances and his testimonies and judgments and statutes. And those many names are thought over and described throughout the psalm in many ways. But also the structure of the psalm is unique because each stanza of eight verses begins with the same Hebrew alphabet, kind of like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through. So 178 verses, each verse and each eight verse stanza, as it were, same letter. C.S. Lewis says of this psalm, it is a pattern, a thing done like embroidery, stitch by stitch through long quiet hours for love of the subject and for the delight in leisurely disciplined craftsmanship. The person who wrote Psalm 119 did that. They sat there and they thought through each verse. What other What other word can I use? How can I start with an A again? And now I've moved to the base. How can I start with that? And now every letter has to begin with Gimel and Daleth, et cetera, et cetera. How can I go through and do it? And so we get this psalm that was crafted through long hours. And here in verse 19 is, first of all, David's confession, and then we'll look at David's prayer or David's plea. He says, I am a sojourner on the earth. He recognizes that in a physical and spiritual sense, he's a sojourner on this earth. Where is he going? We know that he knew of an afterlife. We know, and we'll see later on, he knew of salvation. He knew he was going to be with the Lord. There's Psalms that say in your courts, and he's talking about the future, and he says those things last forever. There's delights forever. He knows that he's moving through to something else. The Hebrew word here is gur. It means a stranger, an alien, or a sojourner. And this word is used 92 times in the Old Testament, primarily of those who are not of the Israelite nation. About 40 times it is translated alien, and another 25 times stranger. So the word is used frequently. The primary use of the word is stranger in the first five books of the Old Testament. When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The prophets use the word mostly as a rebuke to the nation of Israel because of the mistreatment of strangers and aliens. They actually disobeyed this command. So Jeremiah says, thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver the one who has been robbed from the power of his oppressor. Also, do not mistreat or do no violence to the stranger, the orphan or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood. These people have practiced oppression against the very people that they were told not to. So primarily the idea is somebody who is a stranger in the land of Israel, somebody who, like David, says, I'm a stranger here. I am just passing through here. We'll look at five aspects of sojourners. First of all, confessions of sojourners, a brief definition, and then the confessions of sojourners. Notice Jacob's confession in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9. Jacob has come down from Israel, and it's his first meeting with Pharaoh. Rather an interesting meeting. The first thing that Pharaoh does is ask him, how old are you? Because Pharaoh's never seen somebody 130 years old, and it's just totally shocking to him that this man has walked into his presence. But Jacob says, the years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life, nor have they attained the years that my fathers lived during the days of their sojourning. So there's Jacob's confession that he's a sojourner, as well as his fathers. They were just passing through. He's just passing through. Notice Moses' confession also in Exodus 2, verse 22. You remember that Moses killed that Israelite in the fight, and they said he had another thing happen the next day, and they said, well, what are you going to do? Kill me like you killed the guy the other day? And he became fearful and went to the land of Midian. But in Exodus 2:22, it says, then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign place. Well, the child's name, you can see, has the word Ger in it. And it means a stranger in that place, a stranger there. And so he recognizes it too. He names his kid stranger in the place, because he realizes he's passing through. He's in Midian now, but he's got something else that's going to be going on in his life. He recognizes it. He knew what his true calling was, but he locks it down. And every time he called that child, Gershom, 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 he said, we're strangers, we're strangers, we're strangers. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 to 27 picks up Moses's life. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's the picture. He physically looked around at Midian. He physically looked around at Egypt. He physically saw all the food. He physically saw all the pleasures of everything. And he said, this is not for me. I'm looking for something else. I'm looking for the greater wealth. I'm looking for the invisible one. I'm looking for something beyond this life. Then David's other confession, Jacob, Moses, and then David, Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. And this is important. This is important for us to recognize. We are all on the caravan. We could all say, just like my fathers, just like my grandfathers, just like everybody else. David says, I've got this spiritual heritage. My spiritual heritage isn't in my dad had this big house. Now we've got a bigger house than he gave us all this money. It's not like being Bill Gates' only child and inheriting $10 billion or being the sons of and the daughters of Sam, what's his name, with Sam's Club and all that and Walmart, and each of them is worth like $7 or $8 or $10 billion. It's not that. David just says, Lord, you got to be with me because I'm a sojourner like all my fathers. We're just passing through here. You say, wait a minute, the guy's a king. You see his attitude, his sinful attitude when he takes Beersheba. He, there in his sin, he says, I can have whatever I want. I can orchestrate my life whichever way I want. I can do things the way I want. That's not his conviction here. But he had the power to do that. And in that sinful incident, he did. But here he says, I'm a sojourner like all my fathers. He describes his condition as a sojourner. His estimation of his status, even though he was king, was that he was just passing through. And he came from a long line of people that were just passing through. But then, please notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16, we will turn here. The confession of Jacob, the confession of Moses, David's other confession, now the common confession, the common confession in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. Here's all the fathers. Here's all those men that David was talking about. Here's the ones that Jacob pointed back to. All these died in faith. Remember this morning, the righteous one will live by faith. Here's the testimony stamped on their lives. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and notice, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Well, that gets right to the core of it. That gets right to the heart of the matter, doesn't it? That's what David's talking about. That's what Jacob was talking about. That's what Moses was talking about. That's what his confession was. We're just passing through. I don't need all this food. I don't need all this fancy clothes. I don't need to walk around and parade around in Pharaoh's court. I'm going someplace else. God's promised something else. And all I can see is some shadowy thing in the distance. I can't see the whole thing, but God told me it's coming, and that's what I believe in. If they shrunk back, remember Hebrews 10:37 was right before this. If they shrank back, it says they would have had an opportunity to return to their own. country. That's what happens to us. That's what the danger of the Hebrews was, to say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take being persecuted. I can't take all this struggle and all this difficulty. And to shrink back and say, look, I'd rather have the world. All this stuff, all this struggle, all the spiritual battle, all the spiritual fight, I can't do it. But the patriarchs were given these promises by God and they latched on to them. And each of them never really possessed a large portion of land. Well, they did prosper. They did prosper, but they never had a spot. They were just like us. They went from Wheatland Drive to someplace else. They went from Pompton Plains to Massachusetts and back to West Hampton, New Jersey. They worked in Philadelphia, even though they said, I would never want to commute into a city every day. Their lives changed. And one place, one time they were there and then they moved along. But all the time they knew there's a better place that God's promised. It's not a country. It's not a city. It's heavenly. The country and the city is across the line of death. It's the possession of eternity with the Lord. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he says, they're still alive. God's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. That's what these men looked for. Jesus says that is basically saying they received the promise, they're up there now. They're up there now enjoying eternity with the Lord. And so Jacob's confession, Moses' confession, David's other confession, the common confession, and then the Christian confession, 1 Peter 2:11. He's writing to these dispersed Christians, persecuted, dispersed Christians. 1 Peter 2:11, he says, Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. What is going to take away? What is going to take away your view of being a stranger, your view of being in exile? What is going to slow down your progress towards the heavenly city? Well, the passions and of the flesh that wage war against your soul. This talks about one who lives in a place that is not his home, a stranger or alien. It's just a different Greek word. Stephen uses it in his sermon in Acts chapter 7, verse 6 and 29. He says, God spoke to this effect that his offspring would be sojourners of in the land belonging to others. And then also at this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian. Those are the two words used here. Peter addresses these believers as both physically dispersed and spiritually elect in his letter. And then he says, consider yourself sojourners and exiles. Have this mind that this place isn't all that important. And look to the heavenly city. His address to them in chapter 2 relates this sojourning directly to spiritual things, the passions of the flesh, the physical spiritual battle every day between flesh and spirit. Paul outlines the battle, his own personal battle, which is helpful for us in Romans 7, 21 to 24. He finds this law in him that when he wants to do right, evil is close at hand. And he can't get away from it, he says. He's trapped. And ultimately he says, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death? He says he needs help. He speaks of it again in Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Walk by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Those are the things that are going to put you in that quicksand and slow you down and take your eyes off the sojourning. The forefathers, David, and all believers are sojourners on this earth. We're passing through. We're passing through as living by faith, or we're passing through all bogged down with the fleshly passions of this life. For Christians, the battle lines are clearly drawn. The flesh battles against the soul and the spirit. And each change brings new challenge. Each change brings those different things. how many times something changes, a job, and there's a challenge we never faced before. Out of work for the first time in your life. I remember that. We don't need your services anymore, I was told. Oh, that's too bad. We don't need your services anymore. Well, what do you mean? This is my job. This is what I do. This is me. I can't live without having this job. But there's those battles. There's those fights. There's the first argument, maybe, that you haven't had yet. There's those first argument in this wedded bliss. Ours was one of these big things over a shower curtain. But the battle lines are drawn, aren't they? I got the guy looking one. The guy's shower curtain. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, but there was. It took me a long time to find out. But those little things are part of the battle, aren't they? Little tiny things that can just set back, just like we talked about the tongue this morning. And the battle is right there always. But we have to set our minds, God, we're just passing through. And then we just naturally get to the next thing, David's prayer. Do not hide your commandments from me. He says, don't hide, but really he means, God, reveal your commandments. I have commandments as a child. I have commandments as a husband. I have commandments as a father, as a worker. They're all there. No matter where I go, I get out of Wheatland Drive. I go to some other drive. Now, I don't have to have a relationship with my parents the same way because I'm not there. I'm over here. But now I have a whole set of other things. That it's a blessing to hear wedding meditations, isn't it? And all the freshness. But you always hear it. Submit to your husband. Love your wife. Never had to do it before. Is that a challenge? You just kind of coast into it. Parts of it you coast into it, right? It's great. Other parts really go right against the grain of our sin. They go right against the grain of the natural tendency of the man just to kind of be lazy, not get involved, not constantly show the wife, I love you, I care about you, you're more important than anything else to me. And then the situation changes again. And then we need other commandments. What does a sojourner need? Just a little illustration. We used to go on vacation, and we'd have to pack the van. Well, pretty soon, the van, which was purchased to have more room, was too small. We got one of these car top carriers, and he'd have the list, and he'd have all the stuff that you had to get. You'd have to get the boogie boards, and you'd have to get the games and the books, and you'd have to have stuff for in the car and stuff you couldn't use till out of the car, and you'd have to have the food that you were going to eat when you got there, but then the food that you would eat in the car, and you had to have all the stuff. Well, one time, I realized that you had to have a lot of AA batteries. Well, you say, why'd you have to have a lot of AA batteries? Because the children would have those handheld games. And invariably, a half hour into the trip, oh, my batteries ran out. And they had all these clever things, you know, bang the game and turn the batteries around and lick them and all this stuff. But it eventually just didn't work. Right now you got 7 hours left and no batteries. Well, you learn to take batteries. And then the kids grow up and now you got to take different things. Now, all of a sudden, they don't care about the sand. It's the sun we love now. We need our chair. We need our umbrella because we're not going to play in the sand anymore. We're young ladies. We tan. Now you got a bag with like 14 bottles of different ointment, you know, Jamaican something or other, bronze. You got to make sure you take that. Nobody's playing games anymore, or maybe one, right? We got the batteries. Yeah. Did you pack these, the chairs and this and that and the 14 lotions? But a sojourner is the same thing. You need different things at different times. That always changes. You got to pack it different every time. And that's what David did. And that's why Psalm 119 is like a pattern for us here. Because he talks about precepts and commandments and statutes and testimonies and this and that and this. And that's what I need all the time. So we're just going to try to go through, and we'll use Psalm 119 as a guide and look at some of the things that a sojourner must have. But specific, useful things that meet the need. That's what it is. That's what he's saying. Reveal your commandments to me. And they're different today. They're different when you're living at Wheatland Drive under your parents' roof than they are now, when you're with somebody else and you've pledged to stay with them the rest of your life. They're different when your children are gone and it's just you two. The whole thing changes. And you may need to pack something else. And you may need to be aware of that shift in life. Or you lose the spouse that you've lived with for 35 years. I've had a couple of customers lately, widows. And it's hard to imagine after 35, 40 years having that person that's been with you cut off and taken away from you. But you need different commandments at that time. So David says, God, please, I'm passing through. Reveal your commandments to me. So we'll just look at some verses that speak of different things that sojourners need. First of all, please notice that sojourners need salvation. Salvation is the thing that we need more than anything else. We need to be in that chapter 11. Those who live by faith, those who are willing to say, this is not my country, this is not my home, I'm a disciple of Christ. Notice Psalm 119 and verse 41. Here, David basically asks for God to reveal salvation. He says, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Let your salvation come to me according to your promise. Verse 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. You see his heartbeat. The sojourner has to be saved. The sojourner needs salvation. Verse 123. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Remember, those patriarchs, they looked. And they saw it from afar. In a sense, we do too. We have much more a complete revelation than they. But we don't know that day. We don't know the hour of his return. And so we look also. But David says, that's what I wait for. That's what I hope for. My eyes long for your salvation. His eyes looked ahead. He wanted to be saved. He wanted to pass through and be with the Lord. And then verse 174. Similar to the other verse, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. So first of all, what does a sojourner need? A sojourner needs salvation. Secondly, a sojourner not only needs God's commandments, but he needs to keep them or regard them or observe them. Notice again, verse 2 of the psalm. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. Well, here's what we were talking about. When my commandments change, when my situations change, I need to seek those testimonies. How am I a good husband? How do I become a good wife? Now I have this infant son in the crib over there. Lord, show me your testimonies concerning being a father. I've never been a father before. And now I have two kids, and now I have three. And now I fill up a whole row. Lord, I need wisdom. I need grace. I need your testimonies. Verse 22. He says, take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. He's locked into them. Verse 33 and 34. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. He's not only saying, reveal your commandments, but he's saying, I have this commitment. I'm buying into it. I have this commitment to keep the commandments that you tell me to do. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, verse 34, and observe it with my whole heart. The desire of the sojourner is to lock into God's commands. He knows those are the only commands that matter. Verse 56. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Think about that. He considers it a blessing. Verse 69. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. So a sojourner needs salvation, but a sojourner also needs to regard God's commandments and keep them and observe them. And then in the psalm, there's a whole bunch of passages with the word walk, way, ways, and path. And really, if we're saying we're sojourners, we're saying I'm on this journey. I'm on this path. And as we've said, this path can change, and it takes all these diverse turns. But a sojourner must walk the right way. He must walk on the right path. He must follow and walk in the right ways. Verse 3. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. A sojourner needs salvation. A sojourner has to obey, but a sojourner has to walk in God's ways. Verse 35. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. There he's saying, show me where the path is. I don't want to be over on this side. I don't want to be over on this side. I want to be on the path. As a sojourner, that's the only place to be. Verse 27, this picks up the term way. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. You see, that's what we need. God, make me understand. My life's just changed. It's dramatically different. Make me understand the way now. How does it relate to my new situation? There's different verses where all these go together. There's verse 33 where the word way and observe join together. And verse 35 where walk and path join together. Verse 15 where meditate and ways join together. So the sojourner has to walk in the right path. We're familiar with the verse 105 where he says, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He's saying, your commandments are the guide. They're the beam. And I just walk as though your commandments light my path. Verse 128. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. There's the spirit of Moses, isn't it? I'd rather follow God's ways than have all these dainties and have all this power and be considered the son of Pharaoh. I'd rather take the reproach of Christ and follow what God says than do anything else, because I consider all of His ways the right way. So a sojourner needs salvation. A sojourner must walk on the right way, but also a sojourner must think about the right things. How much of our life is mental? How much really is what we think about? I know that can stretch out into error, the power of positive thinking and things like that. But how much is connected with our thoughts and our attitudes? Well, a sojourner must think about the right things. Verse 15. David says, I'll meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. He's saying, I'm going to put those precepts in my mind. Don't hide your commandments from me, Lord. Reveal them. And I'm going to make a conscious effort to think about those right things. You obviously can think of Paul saying, whatever is pure and honorable and right and true, think about those things. Let those things be an anchor, not, well, this person did this to me and now I'm bitter and, you know, I'm angry. Notice verse 48 and verse 78. I will lift up my hands towards your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 78. Let the insolent be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Here's all this commotion going around. And these wicked people are calling him names and saying things against him. They've wronged him with falsehood. And what does he say? Oh, I just go back home and meditate on God's precepts. There's the focus of a sojourner. And then finally here on the meditation, verse 148. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promise. He says there's sometime in the evening and the morning, and I'm just focused. I'm just thinking about what God has to say to me. There's some other aspects of it where the sojourner becomes the witness. And in verse 41 and 42, he says, I'm going to meditate on your precepts so that I can tell others about it. But then also there's a final thing here. A sojourner needs help in affliction and in trouble. So a sojourner needs salvation. A sojourner must regard and keep and observe the commandments. A sojourner must walk in the right way. A sojourner must think about the right things. But a sojourner needs help in times of affliction and trouble. And notice his relationship with God in that regard, starting with verse 28. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Here's one verse there that was crafted for a time of sorrow. I look through this section and it's just there. This isn't like the section of the psalm that's about sorrow or difficulty. It's just there. And in our changing lives, aren't there times when we could say, my soul melts away with sorrow? I have sorrow over something. Maybe one of these young couples will have a miscarriage or something will go wrong. You lose a job and you're just down. And that verse just pops out. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. What do I need? I need strength. The Hebrews were ready to lag, to shrink back. Something was coming upon them, all the persecution and difficulty. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I keep your word. Here's affliction and trouble that he says that helped me to get back on the path. Because when I wasn't afflicted, I was kind of that complacent Christian that we tend to be. And he says the affliction got me back. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Sometimes it's just the discipline of a loving heavenly Father that is being brought on the saint. Verse 87, they have almost made an end of me on the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Here's another time of affliction. They're pursuing him. But he says, I'm just looking at the same thing all the time, your precepts and your ways. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. He recognized that if he didn't have God's word to hang on to, his affliction would have taken him down. And then verse 143, trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Verse 145, with my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. He's crying out to the Lord in times of difficulty. And finally here, verse 153, look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. There's the steady beat of his heart through all the affliction and the difficulty that he needs God's ways. He needs God's commandments. He needs God's laws. So the sojourner needs salvation. A sojourner must regard and keep and observe God's commandments. A sojourner must walk the right way. A sojourner must think about the right things. And a sojourner needs help in times of affliction and trouble. So then three lines of application. The first thing is that we need to be meditative, even as David. He's a great example for that. He's always thinking about God's word. That's his testimony that he was. I mean, we know there were a time in his life when he wasn't, because he did things contrary to God's law. But at least if we look at this psalm, we can see that was his pattern. Meditating and thinking. And we need to think and meditate on the reality that we are all passing through this earth. No matter what our spiritual condition is, we're passing through as the proud, or we're passing through as the righteous, as we saw this morning. Everybody passes through the world and stays much longer in eternity, obviously. But we need to consider, and think and meditate on this fact. We need to run it back and look down the corridors of our own time and when what we have done in our life and how quickly it seems to be passing. We all have those pictures in the living room or on the piano or in the hallway. And you can't believe it. You can't believe that Lisa was that small. And Stephanie was only that tall. And Zach was only that big. And look at the three of them, you know, they're there playing in the sand. And now he's this tall and they're grown. And I had the same thing at the weddings. I knew the Lush girls when they were that big. I saw those dresses that they wore when they were that tall. And you just say, man, things are going by fast. Every New Year's Eve, I think of Y2K. It's bizarre, right? But I was there, right? Computer guy for all those years. But it's 7 years since that happened. It's staggering. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2007. We have to meditate and think that we're all sojourners. We're all passing through. We have to kind of get into David's mode and say, Lord, I'm a sojourner on this earth. Don't hide your commandments from me, because that's what I need. You can see by the structure how he picked each one for every situation he was in, walking his path, affliction, everything. That's what we got to do. Meditate and plug in. The second application is to keep your load travel sized. Keep your load travel sized. A traveler needs a lot of things, but in small portion. Lisa works in a CVS, and there's a section of CVS where they have travel size stuff. They have tiny little shampoos and tiny little soaps and little tubes of toothpaste and little toothbrushes that you know are just going to last a few times and little everything, travel sized everything. Well, the application to you is to keep your load travel sized. Avoid every sin, every bitterness. Avoid every grudge, every little bit of hatred, every little bit of thing that you possibly can. The scripture uses terms about the root of bitterness. The scripture uses terms about people that get weighed down. They get weighed down. Hebrews says the sins which so easily beset us. And that's what we end up doing. We develop bad habits and we develop weights of sin. And we start to get weak in our knees and feeble, like Hebrews says in that same passage. And we have to keep things travel size. We got to travel light. Get rid of those sins as soon as they come up. Try to avoid all those things getting bogged down and caught up in it. There's the passage about Demas, Paul's companion. And Demas walked with Paul and helped him. But one passage says, Demas has left me, having loved the present world. Here's a guy that walked around with Paul. But what became heavy? Pilgrim's Progress, I think, has a picture of Demas. He comes out and he's calling people into a silver mine or something like that. And he couldn't handle it. He's walking around with Paul, and he's probably thinking like Judas Iscariot, who had a problem with money too. We don't get much here. He makes tents, and that we get a few dollars. Then he looked around, and slowly but surely the world and the desires for the world just became like a heavy chain. And pretty soon he said, "Nah, I'm not interested in this ministry stuff anymore." Demas has left me, having loved the present world. You go into a CVS and you can see the same thing. And you can be reminded, keep it all travel sized. We are not staying here. And you don't want to stay here with an indictment that a root of bitterness came up in you and wrecked your whole salvation. You want to leave the earth as the most bitter person in the Downingtown church. That something happened and you got bitter, and you vowed never to go to that place again. The way that person spoke to me. You think you can travel through life that way? Well, there's plenty of people in the Scripture that you see they can't. Judas and Demas, other people that wrecked their salvation. Slowly but surely getting bogged down. Making more of the world than it really was. And not getting rid of those things when people make fun of you or when people say things or there is a big disappointment. When you do lose that child or you do have an affliction and you turn it back on the Lord instead of just saying, I got to keep sojourning. I got to lock into the commandments, not go away. You got to keep it travel sized. Small jealousies, small envies, not stuff that's going to build up and take over. But then we learn finally from David and his testimony that we need to have a large regard for God's commands and for God's ways. We need to constantly be reminded. This ties in with the things in James. We need to see the privilege in having constant teaching and help there available for us all the time. We need to know that husband or that wife was put there and ordained by God and His plan before I was even born to be a help to me. To be the person to go through life with me and encourage me. Not this, oh, there she goes again. Now she's on this again. That's because there's a sin problem there. And then you end up in James chapter 4 with the fightings and the jealousies and the wars. It's because you can't get your way. And it's become a selfish thing rather than let's go through. As heirs of eternal life, let's go through it together. Instead, it's our sin, husbands, isn't it, sometime, that we carry our wife around like this ball and chain. We have bad attitudes towards them, bad motives, and we don't treat them the right way. They could be helping us to be more spiritual. They could be helping us to see God better. But Peter says, if you don't treat your wife the right way, your prayers will be hindered. And sometimes it's just like, oh, there she goes again. There she goes again. Well, you better cut that loose. And I have to cut that loose sometimes and say to myself, that's wrong. I don't know if I mentioned it here. I recently realized that I've been with Jean longer than I was without Jean before. That's amazing. And all I see is God's faithfulness and God's goodness and God's mercy. Because that's such a stabilizing thing in your life, isn't it? That person is always there. Every day that person is always there. And in our sin, we make it baggage instead of something that can help us to lighten the load. And we stuff our pockets with the heavy weights of bitterness and resentment. And then think, yeah, I'll go have my devotions now. Can't do it. It's got to be all light. Tiny toothpaste, tiny soap, tiny toothbrush. The stuff is funny to look at. But you know what it's for. And that's what we need. These light loads and large views and large regards of God's commandments. And thankfulness is a key ingredient as well. Thankfulness for God's goodness. Thankfulness for His salvation. Thankful that we do have all those commands. Hide not your commandments from me. And God says, that's good. That's right up my alley because I've given you a whole book. I've given you all the scriptures to help you. David had pieces of what we had, a smidgen compared to what we had. How many lessons could we learn just from the chapter we read in Jeremiah? There's a wealth of instruction there for us. Just in one chapter, just in one verse. So keep our load travel size, but have large regard for God's commands, a large heart for God, and the consideration that as we pass through, we need His commandments each and every day. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for David's confession. We recognize in our lives, Lord, all the changes and things that have happened to us and how quickly time has passed. And Lord, many of us, even in the past several years, have moved into completely different occupations or completely different stations in our lives, and how we need your grace each and every day. And so, Lord, we pray that you would not hide your commandments from us and reveal them to us. Lord, we need your salvation. We need to obey you, and we need to think about the things that you have set before us. Lord, certainly in times of affliction, we need to hear a word from you. We are thankful that you have proven faithful to us in all these years of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.